One of the things that is really great about the Capital Region is that it has a vibrant and an absolutely terrific artistic community. All manner of aesthetic wonderment is ours if you just know where to look. And one of the places you can look today is right here at our roundtable on Perspectives on WFSU-FM. We've got all kinds of artsy folks who have joined us today for a discussion of not only the Lemoyne Center for the Visual Arts upcoming festival in the park, which is called the Chain of Parks Art Festival, coming up this Saturday and Sunday in downtown Tallahassee. But we also have a number of artists and art advocates who are here to also take your calls at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. We got an email, perspectives@wfsu.org, and we got a Twitter handle, by golly gosh, at WFSU Perspective. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks a lot for joining us today. Let's go around the table and meet just a bunch of great folks who joined us today. And I use the term bunch literally here. Let's start off with a lady you just heard a little bit ago pitching on Air Force. And thank you, Ann Kozalewski, Executive Director of Lemoyne Center for the Visual Arts. Good to see you again in another aspect here.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom, for having us all on here. We're going to have a good time, I know.
I know, and you brought some artistic buds as well. One is Gustavo. Thank you for coming in, sir.
Well, thank you for having us.
Okay, right next door, Randy Breeny. Good to see you, Randy.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having us.
And let's see, Quincy Hamby, you're still cranking out the jewelry, huh?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we're going to be talking some more about that, too. One of the great advocates for the arts here in our public sector is Tallahassee City Commissioner Gil Ziffer, who joins us. Hey, Gil.
I am honored to be surrounded by these folks.
I know. What a great crew. And as we kind of circle back into Lemoyne, we have a board member for the Lemoyne Center of the Visual Arts and also senior vice president and general manager of Mad Dog Construction. It says so right on her shirt. That's Kelly Dozier. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, I'm thrilled to be here for this party that we're throwing here. This
Oh, raise your hand now.
We're going to have to take numbers here. So, you know, sort of like a Brooklyn bakery to see who talks first. Ann Kozalewski, the whole thing here with the weekend celebration, for anyone who maybe is not familiar with the Chain of Parks Art Festival, a little quick thumbnail sketch. What's that thing all about?
All right. It is our 13th annual festival in the park between Monroe Street and Gadsden. We close off Calhoun. We have 150 artists, nine of which are emerging artists, and three of the professional artists are sitting here at the table. And we have art links. We have a children's zone, which will have art activities for kids going the entire time of the festival. We have an area for other nonprofits to reach out to the community, which Lemoyne feels very serious about, helping other nonprofits get an audience. It is free. It is open from 10 to 5, 10 to 5 Saturday and Sunday. And we're going to have live entertainment and food. We'll have the food trucks. We have numerous vendors. And I just want to say it would not happen if it weren't for Kelly Dozier, who is our co-chair.
Okay. And that has got to be just one incredibly humongous job when you have 150 artists. You have thousands of people who are going to be descending upon this event here. And you've got to pull the whole thing together. How does that happen?
Well, it doesn't happen with just me. Let me just say that. We have a fabulous committee that comes together. My co-chair is Charles Tunnicliffe, and he is just a guru of logistics. So he's the one who actually goes out and lays the whole park out so that everybody has their 10x10 spot or whatever that it is that they're to have out there. He locates everything before it happens. So and so much more, all the things that go behind logistics. We have an amazing event manager, Sherry Sanderson, who starts working the day after the festival to plan for the next one. And as Sherry is actually pulling away from the festival for a while, we've brought on Charlotte Waters as our new event manager, and we're excited about her coming on, and she's been fabulous so far. And so many other folks who help all year long planning for this. It's, we start early, so we just chip away at it all year long, and we try to make it better every year.
Before we go around and meet three of the professional artists who are taking part in the festival downtown, let's get a kind of that 30,000-foot perspective. Tallahassee City Commissioner Gil Ziffer, what does an event like this mean, really, to not just Tallahassee but the whole region?
Well, the Chain of Parks Art Festival, I was having a conversation earlier today with some folks about forward thinking. And if you had said 10 years ago that we were going to have a festival of this magnitude that was this well-attended, that had the level of artistry, and it was going to be in our downtown, you'd get a lot of people scratching their heads. And for someone that's been around to other art festivals, very well-known art festivals around the country, this rivals any of them. Mm-hmm. It has gotten to a level that, quite frankly, pretty soon people will be talking about the art festival in Tallahassee. And so for us, this is just incredibly important from an economic development standpoint, but more importantly than that, from a pride standpoint for our community to have something so outstanding every spring in our downtown.
Well, it draws people, participants, artists from not just the Tallahassee area, but also the southeastern region, and from many, many miles away, even sometimes as far as, if you want to go international, Colombia, which is, I think, where that's home for you, Gustavo.
That is correct.
Yeah. Talk about your art a little bit for the folks who are unfamiliar with what you produce.
Well, at the moment, and you always say we, because my wife and I have been doing this for 32 years. Now have come to the point where painting is a pleasure for every day, and it has to do with a collection of our own life moments, either the cities, the Colombia, and obviously when we live here in Tallahassee, because we live here for 9 years, we collected those memories, and they are on paper now.
So you're actually taking – it's like an autobiography that you're reflecting in your painting then.
That is correct. That is correct. And as it goes, it won't stop. It just continues, and there are many, many more moments there waiting to be brought to the paper.
How many individual works are you going to have on display at the festival?
I think I will have a combination of 62 between the two of us. Myself, I probably have like 20. And there is also the prints and, you know, other possibilities. But it's very important for us, the number of pieces that we bring. So, you know, 2 days ago we were working hard.
So the paint is still wet in some cases.
That's right.
Randy Breen, talk about your art.
Well, we're kind of newcomers to the block. My wife and I are also artists. We paint in our home in a studio, more or less back to back. And it's been very exciting. She was fortunate enough to be chosen as the featured artist in 2008 for the Chain of Parks. And that really motivated me to get back into art. I was an art major in college. But as I tell people, the only thing that got me was a free trip to Vietnam. Fortunately, it was a round-trip ticket. But we didn't really do anything with our art, our talent, until 6 or 7 years ago, and that's a whole other story. But it's been a very exciting journey, and it's all due, in most part, to LeMoyne and how they focus on helping and facilitating new and emerging artists to express themselves and to hone their skills, and especially through their education, where my wife and I both have sat under some of the greatest art teachers, I think, in the country that teach at LeMoyne. And we're always trying to learn, and it's very exciting. And this is like the big thing of the year for us. We try to bring out new works, exciting works, and just keep it going.
I think a lot of folks are not aware, or maybe it's on the back burner of the memory banks, that the LeMoyne is not just a gallery or a sponsor of individual events like the Chain of Parks Art Festival, that really it is Tallahassee's equivalent of an art Institute, which many other communities have, a nominal art institute, and everyone celebrates, and, oh, isn't this a wonderful thing? But Ann Kozielewski, you guys have been doing it since the beginning.
Oh, my gosh. We are on the verge of our 50th anniversary, continually exhibiting in Tallahassee, along with an educational component. We're so excited. We're going to be rolling out our 50th anniversary celebration at this year's holiday show, which opens November 20th. Well, what is it? It's Thanksgiving night, whatever day that is this year. And it will continue on through 2014. And it is. We are an institution in Tallahassee. We've had 3 to 4 generations walk through our door. So you know when you've got families gathering for specific events that LeMoyne has been putting on, that you're part of the decoration.
And also the fact that LeMoyne, as Randy was saying, brings in phenomenal instructors in all manner of visual arts. So if you want to learn more about painting, if you're already a painter, or if you're just getting started in that genre, you guys can help there.
And we have classes for everyone from pre-K to adult. And we have fantastic summer camp, which registration is open for now. Please call 222-8800. And we have spring break camp, holiday camp. We have adult class. We have ceramics. We have stained glass. We have paper batik. Anything that you have an interest in, we will seek out an instructor and have a class if we don't already have one.
And there's also, I believe, some classes in jewelry making, which will bring us to Quincy Hamby when we come back from our break here in just a moment. Great. As Perspectives rolls on, and we are talking about the upcoming Grand Artistic Festival in downtown Tallahassee, set to happen this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 5, both days. That is the Chain of Parks Art Festival put on by the LeMoyne Center for the Visual Arts. Your input, too, at 414-1234, 800-926-8809, and perspectives at WFSU.org. We'll be right back. Yes, a bunch of wild and crazy art folks are with us today here on Perspectives as we talk about the upcoming Chain of Parks Art Festival downtown Tallahassee this Saturday and Sunday. And boy, we know the weather's going to be phenomenal on Sunday. All the forecasts are leaning that way. Maybe a few little morning showers on Saturday, but should not dissuade you from bringing everybody you know down to.
There will be no rain, Tom.
You're guaranteeing that kills everybody.
No rain.
Okay, and let's see. That's right. The City Commission enacted that ordinance last week, right? Yeah.
Crank up the magnet.
Power.
Yeah, we have that little, let's see, what will we call that? The dome over the city. Quincy Hamby, you have been doing jewelry for how many years now?
10 less than Gustavo. 22 years. 22. I love jewelry because I majored in anthropology and archaeology, and I felt that it was a way for me to understand the cultures that I studied for years. So the beads are really important for me. And I do Chain of Parks show, but I was really apprehensive at first because I have a shop in town, in Midtown, and I didn't want to compete with my own self. But it's such a joy to live in this community with a little tweaking. And it's just a supreme joy to be out there at Chain of Parks, and you see Kelly Dozier and Charles Tunnicliffe is just amazing. You know, I always think as I age as a woman, you know, and I'm not as strong as I used to be, that I just need young bucks around me. And then I see Charles Tunnicliffe, and I said, man, that guy is a young buck. He's pulling these fencing around, these garbage cans. He's not asking these young guys to do it. He's doing it himself. So he's totally amazing to watch through the whole weekend.
And Kelly Dozier, how many, besides you and Charles, how many other folks are involved in the actual pulling off of this massive enterprise here?
I think we've got about 12 people who are on the committee. We have Robin Whitlock, who plans the entertainment, Terry Brooks, who handles all the food and wine and vendors and such. And there's so many others who come. Taylor Maxey has done a fabulous job with the PR and marketing.
LeBron Saunders and Ben Baldwin are always down there at the VIP booth.
That's
with
right.
Nella Schoenberger.
Yes, and actually at the weekend, this weekend, we're going to have about 100 volunteers. That's what it takes to really make this happen on the weekend. And Gil Ziffer and
bartending, as I recall.
His lovely wife, Gail, will also be there volunteering. And so, you know, it takes a village, as they say, you know, to make this happen. And it is for our community. And so it's a great time. I hope everybody comes out.
Well, as long as we – go ahead, Randy.
I just want to interject one thing that something Kelly just said triggered it. And what Gil said, I've been to a lot of art festivals, too, around the country. But at the Chain of Parks, they have a dinner for the artists on Saturday evening and the awards ceremony, and you just don't get that anywhere else. You might get a sack lunch or a little, you know, apple and banana, but they actually have a sit-down dinner, and they really do focus on making the artist and the art the focal point of the event. And I really appreciate that as an artist.
Okay, and I believe that, and I want to run this by Ann Kozalewski here in a second. I think that brings back a lot of return business from many artists who perhaps otherwise would just be kind of hit and run kind of folks. Because I, in the years that I've been visiting Chain and Park since the beginning, actually, I see a lot of folks who come back again mm-hmm. and again and again who are very popular and well received here.
Absolutely, one of my responsibilities that I have been assigned is I get to talk to all the artists, which it's very hard for me. You can understand that.
She's so reserved.
And I love it because I go and I speak to each of the artists individually and get their feedback, not only on our paper survey, which helps us with grants and things like that, but the majority of the comment coming back from all of the artists is what a great show this is, and we'll be back. Artists aren't treated like this at all the shows. My gosh, all the services, all of this, on and on and on. So it's what's make the it is what has made this show the I think one of the best in the Southeast.
What's fun for me as an artist too is as you're set up and you have a booth all weekend, you're there. And I see so many people that I wouldn't normally see. I've seen people that I went to graduate school with 20 years ago. You know, I mean, I see people that, you know, just appear in my past life. It's so much fun.
Well, and I know that with Gustavo having, I think you had your first show with
that
LeMoyne.
That is correct. Yeah. When we came in 86, it was only 2 years later when I was invited to do a first show, solo show there, where we presented 30 paintings. Back then was Richard Pocket, the director, mm-hmm. and always grateful to him because he was not only love for LeMoyne, for love for the artist, and getting really involved with each of us. So we had that opportunity, and then as I go away to my home, which is Jupiter now, Jupiter in near Palm Beach, we still come back feeling that we're coming back home to this first place where we were so well received and where LeMoyne was the center part of that relationship with the town. We are grateful to be back all the time.
It's like a homecoming for you.
That is correct.
That is great. Well, City Commissioner Gil Ziffer, what overall is the state of the arts here in Tallahassee right now? You ride herd on this very closely.
Well, I think we have a pretty significant arts community, whether it's performing or visual arts. And by virtue of a huge park we're about to open, we're going to have the opportunity for an awful lot more people to enjoy some of the performing arts and also visual arts because there's a It's 23-acre park where we can do all sorts of things. We're going to be able to have more music venues on Gaines Street as the College Town venue opens up. What the Chain of Parks Festival does is it elevates to a really visual level what we have here. And most days it's just under the surface. And most people, unless they're actually involved in the arts, don't really get to appreciate it until it comes up out of the surface. And so when something like this happens, more people are able to recognize how important the arts are for us. So we're, I think we're fairly strong in the arts. It's important for us to do more things like this. It's extremely encouraging to hear, and I, not that I ever doubted it, but Tallahassee's always been known as a very friendly place, is a place people want to come back to. And it's encouraging to hear that this is transcended down into everything you do when the artists come to town, that they want to come back because we're a very special place. So we want to do more things like this. I think the park's going to provide us that opportunity. I think we're looking at, for example, on Fifth Avenue, we created that streetscape where we can do more things. We want to do more of these. And so when something is so successful as this, I think it sends a message to others. You need to try it also, whether it's music or visual, whatever.
Well, one of the things that you were instrumental in doing was bringing a phenomenal mural to this town from South Florida. What's the deal on that?
Well, we're still working on the renovating those. It costs a great deal of money, and so the benefactor that donated those to us is in the process of collecting the money so we can go ahead and get those done. But you raised an interesting thought, and it's something we've discussed, and that is art in public places. And one of the things that we're talking about now at City Hall is putting visual arts out more on a permanent basis. And we have, through, let's say, murals or photography, opportunities to do that. And I don't want to talk about tagging and things like that, but for example, we've got a garage in our downtown, Klamath Plaza, the interior, which quite frankly has got pretty boring concrete walls and concrete posts. And what a great place to give artists an opportunity to create murals or to create something there that says Tallahassee is more than just concrete walls and concrete posts. We have all these different artists in the community. So we're talking about that and maybe other locations because art in public places is vital to who we are.
And it was really surprising, the most recent Youth Leadership Tallahassee class made use of art in public places as their final day exercise, where the kids scattered out to the four winds and found various pieces of art that were actually on display in public places in downtown Tallahassee and were astonished that they found so much stuff. Mm-hmm. They never really thought of the town in that kind of a context. Kelly Dozier, since you work in the construction industry also, it seems as though there's a more of a – I may be wrong here. You would know this. More of an emphasis on aesthetics when it comes to a lot of the building in Tallahassee that goes on than perhaps some other communities. Is that – accurate?
Well, I don't know how it compares to other communities, but I think there that Tallahassee has kind of set a standard through, for instance, the landscape ordinance and things like that that people want to live up to. And we have some fabulous developers such as Rick Carney, who owns Summit East. And I know that everything that Rick Carney does is high quality, and he hires excellent architects, and they design beautiful buildings. And so I think that, you know, people do want that in Tallahassee, and they do it as much as they can. It always comes down to what their budget is and what they can afford. But I think the expectations are in Tallahassee that you know, people want to see a nice-looking structure when it goes up.
Yeah, I know we've had no – and please forgive me. The building may have some fans. I don't know, but the old city center building that used to house all the federal – offices and stuff, and when that went up, I know there was the hue and cry that, oh my gosh, that is not a pretty structure at
all.
Well,
and the garage out front, and I think we've learned a few things since then, that you front-end load buildings and you try to put parking behind, and you bring that out to the street so it's more accessible to folks. And I think we've learned those things over time, and if that building were done today, I would imagine it would be done a little bit differently.
Yeah, that new building that's going up there, the Gateway Center,
exactly.
The Hunter and Hart property there, that's all going to front right on the street, and all the parking is going to be either underground or back off of Calhoun. So, and more aesthetics because you can find it everywhere. That's the great thing about it.
Well, and I think we've tried to incorporate those down in some of the Gaines Street area. We have the poetry, which is a tile mural that's all along that wall. Some of the power boxes, you can see that there are actual art that we've wrapped around them instead of just having a plain brown or gray box. That's important. The more we can do that, the more it's going to tell people what kind of community we are.
Well, and aesthetics define our community. You know, when you go someplace, you start looking around as soon as you drive into town, and what kind of place is this? And is this somewhere I want to stay? Is this someplace I want to visit? And when you see beautiful buildings and you see public art, you feel like this is an interesting place and a great place to visit and be a part of. So, you know, it creates a sense of place.
And I'd like to just add that the poetry ceramic mural on Gaines Street, the tiles were made by Susan Steltzman, who is an instructor at LeMoyne Center for Visual Arts.
I think we should give Quincy an opportunity to give her address, too, since, you know, Anne gave the phone. I'm kidding.
I want to say that my son went to the LeMoyne art camps every year, and it was just so fascinating for his formal education. He's got an art bent to him, mm-hmm. you know, but he's just an amazing young man, and I think it's because LeMoyne was inspirational for him at a young age.
Well, and particularly since I know we don't have it locked down yet as to what is going to happen with the public school situation, given the new Common Core standards, all that sort of thing, but without an institution like LeMoyne and similar organizations, how can kids get a grounding in the arts? Because the schools are really hard-pressed now to do anything other than prepare the kids for standardized testing.
I know there's – and I forgot which school board member it was I had a discussion with. They're really trying to look at that and what's the cost of, for example, of adding another period back, because – I know there's a lot of effort for STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math, and that's what makes us, quite frankly, alike. But what makes us different are the arts, because it's an interpretation. You know, somebody looks at a visual piece, and it can be seen from so many different eyes, and it's interpreted in so many different ways. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It's just a different interpretation. And that's why it's so important for us to through LeMoyne and hopefully back through public schools that do a very good job now. But they could – and they know that there's an opportunity to do even more to help our kids become more than just focused on science, technology, engineering, math. In fact, there's the new – it's STEAM, science, technology, STEAM. Engineering, arts, and math. That's how important it is.
Oh, that's the first time I'd heard that designation. That's really neat.
Well, and what a lot of people don't take into account is that in your daily travels, you walk around, look. I mean, what you're wearing was designed by somebody. The colors are selected. The car you're driving was designed by somebody. So art is everywhere. The ties men wear, the socks kids wear, everything. Everything is touched by the creative effort. And even the books that the mathematicians use was designed by somebody.
And when
it has cell phones, look at that.
Yeah.
Computers, everything in these microphones we're looking at. Somebody designed this.
Yeah. So is there in everyday life? And when you have such a, I guess, a confluence, such a convergence of so many artistic endeavors in one place at one time, like we're going to see downtown Tallahassee this weekend. Gustavo, I'm thinking as a young person, again, coming into a situation like that and seeing paintings like yours with the vibrant colors and the reflection of this is what my life was like, this is what I saw, and being able to essentially see with your eyes. You know, as a kid, I'm really going to be jazzed about that.
Well, there is always the presence of the children in any of the festivals that we go and visit. And it's very refreshing to see them interested, pointing out and asking. And see them, you know, interacting with their parents and discussing some of the work that is hanging on the walls. That's something that is very special to us, and we try to respond to them.
Yeah, because I can even see just with a simple box of crayons,
right,
and not a big 64, you know, unit box of crayons, but maybe just, you know, 10, 12, recreating some of the same colors and the patterns that you have in your paintings. They're just spectacular.
That is right. That is
right. Tom, one of our most prominent artists in this area, Dean Mitchell, it's interesting to read his story. He actually, I think his grandmother gave him two paint-by-numbers paintings. And he did the first one by number, and he said, well, I'm just going to do the second one. And he resketched it and did it. And then that launched him, and, you know, through Gadsden Arts in Lemoyne, look where he is now, one of the most prominent watercolor artists in the whole world, actually, in the United States for sure.
Yeah, this area has produced some incredible artists and
Dean
folks
Mitchell
of that.
And Dean Mitchell and
Dean Gioia. Look at Dean Gioia's work.
Ron Irabedra. And,
yeah. International artists.
Yeah, folks who can hold their own in any environment, but it all came from here.
Mary Proctor became very prominent for a while with her vernacular art, and she's emerged from this area.
What is ahead as far as you see looking down the road? Lemoyne keeps on cranking. You guys are back up to full strength. Everything recovered now, Kelly? Because you guys were going through some tough times there for a while.
That's right. Along with everyone else, Lemoyne struggled through the economic downturn. Lemoyne got out there in front. The board at the time reached out to the community and shared what was happening because we feel that Lemoyne is a community art center. It belongs to this community. It doesn't belong to a few people who sit on the board. So we reached out and the community responded and chipped in and helped make Lemoyne come back. And with Ann's leadership and the current board doing everything that they're doing.
Fuchs, the current president. Oh,
yeah. Larry Fuchs has been fabulous and has just led that board in a very active way to bring Lemoyne out in the forefront and just constantly increasing the quality of the programs that Lemoyne offers and strengthening Lemoyne. And actually, Lemoyne is looking for a new home. The buildings which house Lemoyne now are for sale, but we need to find a new home. So we're looking for suggestions, any offers, and we've been talking with our elected officials and other folks to see where we go next.
Got a suggestion for where to put Lemoyne, 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. Talking with the Lemoyne folks and some artists and City Commissioner Gil Ziffer about the annual Chain of Parks Art Festival and other artistic happenings right here on Perspectives. Hey, we are artistic today here on Perspectives. Folks who are in charge of the Lemoyne Center for the Visual Arts and Tallahassee City Commissioner Gil Ziffer and a plethora of local artists, kind of a summit of aesthetics, if you will, right here. 414-1234, the number to call, by the way, 800-926-8809 for Perspectives. And Ann Kozlowski, you were talking here as Kelly Dozier was talking about the relocation of Lemoyne up and coming, that the design has now kind of been turned over in a fashion to the community too.
Yeah, we're very excited. Mary Jo Spector, who is a local artist and a board member of Lemoyne Center for the Visual Arts, is also an instructor of architecture for FAMU and FSU. And she, along with her teaching partner, N. Otts, and I apologize if that's not correct pronunciation of his name, but they have assigned their students the task of designing a new Lemoyne. And we will go and take a look at those concepts on April 22nd. And it's just, again, like you say, it's another way that Lemoyne is reaching out to the community. I mean, we're all in this together. So let's mass our resources. And we're excited to see what these students have come up with.
Well, that would be a design. Let's see if we can find you a location. Let's go to line one here. Austin's giving us a call on Perspective. Hey, Austin.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you? I was suggesting Tallahassee Mall would be a great location for that.
Oh, the Tallahassee Mall. It's certainly a big location, huh?
You got lots of venue choices there, and that would be a step in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, and it's right next door to the Guitar Center and a Barnes & Noble. You can't beat that, too. So I know that, Gil Ziffer, that had been a topic of major concern for both the City Commission and the County Commission. What the heck do you do with Tallahassee Mall, which continues but is floundering?
You know, Tom, I'm not sure if I mentioned to you what a great job you're doing here today. with the six of us being able to work through all these different folks.
I think we're doing a great job shutting up.
No, that's – I think Tallahassee Mall discussion in North Monroe and trying to do more there is probably a different show.
Yeah, that most likely is.
That's a really complicated situation, Tallahassee Mall. But I suspect that we're coming closer to a point where something's going to happen there. Whether it's a home for Lemoyne, I can't tell you. That's probably more of a decision on y'all's part. But clearly it's an important parcel of land right in the middle of Tallahassee on a very important thoroughfare for us. So I think probably within a fairly good period of time here, we'll have some answers for Tallahassee Mall. But as I said, I think that's probably a different
show. That is an entire –
But you've done a really good job, and I just want to point that out to you.
Appreciate that. On line two, we have Ramona, who's checking in with us. Hey, Ramona.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Hey, we're doing good.
With the discussion about STEM programs nudging arts out of schools, I see that in my weaving, I use a lot of math, and I know – potters and clay artists and glass artists who use a lot of physics in heating their kilns and chemistry in mixing their glazes and even their clay bodies. And I think it would be a great benefit to both education and the arts if we could find a way to build into the curriculum a demonstration for kids how the math, how the sciences are used in the arts.
An arts and sciences convergence kind of, sort of,
yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Well, you do, Kelly Dozier, in construction there. You have to use mathematics to figure out all kinds of things, but you also have an artistic part of that whole thing, too.
Absolutely. Architectural design is art and engineering put together, and you definitely need to know the math. You need to understand one-point, two-point, three-point perspectives. So there's a lot to it where it does come together. And, I really feel like the two do work together. And in order to do good design, as Anne was saying, everything is designed by someone. You need to have that art component. And we're familiar with, like, let's say, a can opener. I mean, you know the ones that are designed poorly and they don't look good and they don't feel good in your hands. But once an artist gets a hold of a can opener, you've got something that feels good, works well. So they do go together.
Yeah, I'm looking back at some of the great – I don't know why so much of this came out of the 30s, but you have people like Raymond Loewy, who was one of the great industrial designers, everything from locomotives to essentially can openers. And it was just, you know, fabulous stuff that was produced by an artist, but there was a very scientific and a mathematical component there, too. Boy, there you go, Gil Ziffer. That's another complete show. How do you integrate all these different things to provide a well-rounded education for people?
I think having that discussion is good, because any time that we can have discussions like that and talk about it, the better off all of us are, be challenged by it. But I think Kelly's right, and the caller was right, and that is there is integration clearly between the two. But we just need to make sure that we offer all and do as good a job as we can at that, and that's important. And as I said, I think our school system's doing a very good job, but boy, if they had that other period, the job that they could do would be really phenomenal.
You know, what about the artistic outreach in the community, though? Because I think all of you folks have been associated with efforts to get more young people involved in your art and just art in general. I see you jumping in there, Quince.
Well, I teach the Girl Scout troops every year. One of the Girl Scout troops comes and does their jewelry making badge with me. And it's so much fun. They're just so crazy, these little girls, and they're just making jewelry, and we have a great time. So that's some way I do it.
Okay. Randy?
One of the most exciting things I've done recently, I filled in for an artist, and I'm glad I did. I was invited to Montford, and they had Meet the Artist Day, and they set up about 10 of us in their library. And then various periods of the kids came through, and I thought, boy, this is just an excuse for them to get out of class. But it was unbelievable, the questions they asked. They each had an assignment, like ask certain things of the artists, and they were very interested in the pieces that we had. They everything from expressionism to impressionism and abstract. They wanted to know, the ins and outs of it, and very few of them were not interested. And that's what is encouraging to me, is to see young people interested in the arts. And anything we can do to help develop that talent is a plus for the community.
Yeah, and Gustavo, you already talked about reaching out to kids, and that's been a big thing for both you and your wife, and in trying to get your art to a larger audience by starting new artists.
Yes, I was just thinking that some of the art festivals across the nation have some programs inviting the artists to come to schools and be part of them either before the art festival or after the art festival. We stay there 2 or 3 days, and we come and give a talk. And I think that could be a possibility, something to consider for the change of park.
Yes, sounds like a great idea to me. All right, we're going to sign
consider
up.
Consider yourself
Gustavo.
Signed up, yeah.
First off, but, and at the festival, we do have the children's mm-hmm. art activities, all kinds of activities that kids can do to start getting involved in art, and it's totally free for them to come out and participate in that all weekend. Plus, all the 150 artists that are there. It's not just their work. It's the actual artists that are there. So kids are welcome to come out with their families or just on their own if they're old enough and walk through all these booths and see the different types of art. I mean, art is just amazing. There's so many different styles and medias. So those kids can come out and actually even ask the artists there at their booths.
The emerging artist opportunity is fantastic. I was looking through the magazine. And my son's next door neighbor is in there as an emerging artist. Now, I've seen a couple of his pieces, and I'm very excited that he's put a body of work together to be presented. And Anne, you might want to address how the emerging artists, what the opportunity is for them.
Well, it's a great opportunity because it's an ordeal to be involved in an art festival. I mean, it takes a lot of planning. It's expensive. And the logistics of getting yourself to these locations. And so this is a way that people who are considering getting on the festival tour can get in at a lower entry fee. They're not judged for the juried prizes. So that's one disadvantage. But this way they can get out, they can get their validation as to whether or not what they're doing is the medium that they want to pursue, get the word from the people who see their work. There's nothing like putting your babies out there to be told whether they're ugly or they're pretty. And with as many people that come through there, they will get that.
Well, what they learn from the other artists, as far as just rudimentary things like setup,
yes.
how to anchor your tents properly,
right.
how to protect your work, how to present your work, mm-hmm. what to present, what not to present. And they're just like little –
fine tuning.
Children yeah. just wanting yeah, all this information.
Sponges.
Yes.
Yeah. And the little things like how do you display your work in your tent?
Yeah.
You know, side panels, flaps, all kinds of stuff like that. And one thing I would like to also say that the Gallery of Lemoyne will be open during this festival during the same hours, 10 to 5. And we have a show currently hanging called A Power of 10, mm-hmm. which is 10 local women artists who have been painting together for at least as many years. And they critique each other. They grow with each other. And it is a beautiful show that you can come in and look at and enjoy in the quiet of the gallery without the hubbub. Of course, we'd like some more hub in our bub. So come to the gallery and get a nice little break and see the inside workings of Lemoyne, where Heather Dunbar is our membership coordinator and volunteer coordinator for Chena Park. She picked up the baton on that, as well as Jennifer Infinger, who's my education coordinator and was responsible for the Art Links children's area and also the nonprofit section.
In case you're just joining us, we are talking Chena Park's Art Festival upcoming this Saturday and Sunday in downtown Tallahassee, 10 until 5 both days, put on by the Lemoyne Center for the Visual Arts. And those folks who may be coming may also be somewhat fearful, the prices. we've heard of artworks going for thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and my gosh, I can't afford this kind of stuff, and why would I even want to shop there because I know there's nothing in my price range. Right? Wrong?
Wrong.
Wrong. Wrong. Something there for everybody.
Yes.
Okay, so even if I've only got 20 bucks, there's going to be something I can
pick
up.
You know, there's everything from jewelry to sculpture. Maybe Quince
pottery.
Can address that. But the price ranges, you know, a lot of artists, if you don't buy an original, you have an opportunity to buy a print. There's don't let price scare. And artists, they're known to haggle a little bit too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, and don't forget about the Chain of Park souvenirs that are available. All those beautiful T-shirts with Gustavo's slice of color image are available for just $20, including tax and everything. So, Tom, you're in luck.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, that's right in my price range.
And you can also join LeMoyne at the membership tent where during the festival or during the exhibits at the gallery at a certain level, memberships get a discount on mm-hmm. purchases.
And the final thing you can do is just go down
yes.
and enjoy some amazing art and not spend a penny if you don't have it.
That's true.
That's
and
right.
You can
have live music.
And food
right.
and entertainment. Some of the best food
that's right.
It is.
That the city has to offer.
That's great.
Suck up the energy.
Okay. And there you go, Gil Ziffer. Another thing that so many of the economic activity indices are based on is having specific big name events like this to pull people in from elsewhere to spend money.
Sure. Tourist Development Council, we call it Heads in Beds. And having festivals like this brings people in from, you know, the surrounding areas. And quite frankly, as I said at the start of the show, this is our festival is becoming known and people will come from further distances and artists come from further distances. So this has a huge impact. I'm not sure if we've ever done an economic impact study on what the festival has, but I would say it's probably fairly significant during this time of year because we don't have football going on and we don't have all these other drivers that bring people in. And we have this wonderful two-day festival with perfect weather that Tom has ordered up for us and that's available at no charge for families in no matter what age you are, whether you're mm-hmm. a child or whether you're 80 years old, you can enjoy with music, with the visuals, under the shade in
with
our downtown.
Your dogs.
Mm-hmm. Dogs are welcome.
That's right. Don't bring your cat, but you can bring your cat. That's a pretty special thing. So it does impact us and it's very beneficial to our community economically, but I think just from a cultural standpoint, it means a great deal.
Yeah, and you look at some of the communities that Tallahassee has tried over the years to at least take a page or two from their book, mm-hmm. be it, you know, Austin, yeah. Texas, or Chattanooga, Tennessee, or these other places that are known for these sorts of things.
I think we've learned, because I know, you know, those of us that have been around a while and we've heard all that, I think it's time, and I think a lot of us already feel that let's do things the Tallahassee way, because when we work together, we're pretty unstoppable. We've got some amazing, amazing things that are happening in our community now. All that construction that we have along Gaines Street in Madison, we have a world-class park that's about to open. And we have festivals like this. This is really very good. And it's when we work together. And so this is a great example. And Kelly, you mentioned all these different people in the community that are involved. When we come together, we can do great things. And this is a great example for us.
Okay. And Ann Kozlowski, again, for the benefit of latecomers here to Perspectives, just a quick thumbnail again of what is going on in downtown Tallahassee this weekend.
April 20th and 21st in the Chain of Parks between Monroe Street and Gadsden is the LeMoyne 13th Annual Chain of Parks Art Festival. 150 artists from across the country will be there displaying and selling their work. Numerous local artists are also on hand. We have a children's zone. It's a family fun event, live entertainment, food for everyone, and it is going to be a glorious weekend, and it's free.
Unless you want to buy one of Gustavo's paintings, but then again.
Or Randy's or Quincy's works or any of the others, but there's something for everyone.
Okay. And how do you see, Kelly Dozier, the development of the LeMoyne Chain of Parks? You know, 13 years in, what are the aspirations for the future? Are we good where we are, do you think?
Well, I think we're definitely good where we are, but we always want to improve. One way to do that is to reach out further with our marketing to get more people from the surrounding area to be aware of it and to come into town and visit it. We also want to reach out to more artists. So as the festival matures, we become more and more selective in the artists that are showing in the festival, and the quality of the art continues to get better and better. And I'll say that even, this year, the quality of art, this is a fine art festival. This is not a crafts situation here. This is fine art. These artists have honed their skills. This is the best art that you can find in our area. So that's the amazing opportunity here. You don't have to travel anywhere else. Come downtown to Tallahassee and find that. But we continue to tweak the festival and make it better for everyone involved. And that's our goal. Not really looking to increase the number of artists right now. I think this is a good number for our community. The artists like a, smaller festival where they're not dealing with 300 artists and competing against all those. So 150 was our goal. We've reached it, and we're excited about the weekend.
It's coming up this Saturday and Sunday, downtown Tallahassee, the Chain of Parks Art Festival. Kelly Dozier, Gil Ziffer, Quincy Hanby.
See you there.
Andy Breenan, Gustavo, and, of course, Ann Kozalewski. Thanks so much for coming on Perspective.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. We're going to have a little time off next week as we continue our fundraising. And thanks again to many folks at this table who are helping us with that. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks for tuning in to Perspectives. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.